Good morning. We will pray as we prepare our hearts for the Lord's table. Lord, I thank you for your word that we can know you. Father, I praise you that your word gives us just promises of what you will do, what you have done. And Lord, now as we prepare our hearts and our minds for the Lord's table, Lord, I pray, Father, for each one of us, we would be the mindset to believe you because you are a good God that promises great things. Father, just thank you. We pray all this in your Son's name. Amen. The Apostle Paul in his teaching from 1 Corinthians encourages us, not only encourages us, he exhorts us to do these things in remembrance of Jesus Christ. Participate in the worship of communion in remembrance of Jesus Christ. In particular, today I want to remind you of two things. I want to remind you of the cross of Christ and the gospel of Christ. The gospel is the good news of what took place when Christ died on the cross. And to understand what took place on the cross is to understand the gospel. I am going to present to you six different scriptures that are all promises from our great God regarding our great Savior Jesus. What happened on the cross? The first thing that happened on the cross is found in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 3. Christ died for our sins. Jesus' death for our sins must be understood. Jesus was nailed to a cross, and the Father charged Jesus with all of our sins. How do we know this is true? It's the promise of 2 Corinthians 5, verse 21. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. This theological term for this verse is penal substitution. There was a penalty and there was a substitute that paid the penalty, and it was Jesus. Not only charged with our sin, he was judged, and the full penalty of our sin was placed on him as Jesus died. How do we know this is true? And it's the promise of Colossians chapter 2, verse 14. Having canceled the written code with its regulations that was against us and stood opposed to us, he took it away, nailing it to a cross. This is substitutionary atonement. Excuse me. The second thing that happened on the cross, Jesus conquered the power of Satan. Jesus died for our sins, establishing his supreme authority and power over everything in all of creation. How do we know this is true? Colossians 2:15 tells us, and having disarmed the powers and the authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. As well, we know it's true from Hebrews 2:14. Since the children have flesh and blood, he too shared their humanity, so that by his death he might destroy him who holds the power of death. That is the devil, that is Satan. Because of these two things, the promise of Ephesians chapter 1, verses 20 through 23 is true. Christ, when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every title that can be given, not only in the present age, but the one to come, verse 22, and God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. One commentator summarized it this way. In his death on the cross, Jesus fully paid the penalty of our sin and totally defeated the power of sin. And the good news of the gospel wouldn't be complete if I didn't remind us of the resurrection. Because of the penalty of sin being death, the greatest power that sin has over us is death. And since the penalty of sin is death, and since Jesus paid the penalty fully by his death on a cross, his resurrection from the dead demonstrates that the penalty was paid in full. Christ's resurrection demonstrates the complete power over sin has been defeated as he arose victorious from the grave. As a praise God. As you prepare your heart and your mind today to take the elements of what Jesus has accomplished, he paid the penalty of your sin. He conquered sin, that you do not have to be a slave to sin any longer. Do you believe that truth? Do you believe God's promises? As you prepare yourself, remind yourself of that truth. Take time now to preach the gospel to yourself. These promises of God are incredible of what he has prepared for us. And if you're here today and perhaps maybe you don't believe these truths, maybe you've never really realized that Scripture is full of promises to believers. We're glad you're here, but I would ask that you just allow the elements to pass you by. This is a time for those who believe the truth, believe the promises of what God has provided. If you have questions about anything, please talk to me, talk to anyone who had brought you, because it is essential for us to be saved is that we believe the promises of God. We're going to take communion together, so as you get the elements, hold them, and then we will come together and take the Lord's table together.